This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling, a special Saturday night main event edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Knights from ESPN Milwaukee. We've got the whole gang here with Brian Rhodes from ESPN West Palm, Jonathan Hood from ESPN 1000 in Chicago. All right, boys, 2 hours of primetime television on a Saturday night. First time since 2008 that they've had a Saturday night's main event on NBC. Five matches headlined by Kevin Owens taking on Cody Rhodes for the undisputed WWE Championship. What were your initial takeaways from tonight's main event?
I think they hit the right notes of nostalgia and what's happening today. It was quite the balance, especially if you haven't watched wrestling for a long time on NBC, to be able to catch up to exactly what's happening today and then being able to go to the past with Jesse the Body Ventura and having Obsession as the open. So I think they hit the right balances on both sides. And also, this is how you do like a Battle of the Belts or a Night of Champions or Clash of Champions show. It's 2 hours, get it all in, be able to promote all the stuff you want to promote for WWE. This is quite the infomercial, I thought, Gabe, for WWE and for a new audience.
So I guess this is more on me, and I think when we talked about it on Thursday and talking about title changes and things like that, I got my hopes up. So tonight sort of felt like a letdown. Like, the nostalgia was cool. Yeah. The open was really well done, but it was Saturday Night Raw. Like, that's...
It was Saturday Night Roadblock. That's okay. What it was. It was a house show. They put on a house show, and they put it on... Look, the presentation was great. The nostalgia, fantastic. Winged Eagle belt. Like, you checked... Yep. The presentation checked all the right boxes, but in terms of making me excited for the next Saturday night main event, which is happening in San Antonio about a month and a half from now, which I'm not excited for it. Like, the reason why Battle of the Belts doesn't work in AEW is because I know I don't need to watch it.
Right.
Like, there is not, other than Chelsea becoming the U.S. Women's Champion, which I don't think that they're going to wait to make the inaugural Intercontinental Women's Champion wait all the way until Saturday night's main event in January. Like, outside of that, like, and maybe it's just not for me. Maybe tonight wasn't for me. As a professional wrestling fan that watches SmackDown every Friday, Raw every Monday, maybe tonight wasn't for me, because other than Chelsea winning, tonight was largely skippable. Like, if you did not watch tonight's show and you tune in for Monday Night Raw in a couple of days, you didn't miss anything. Like, there's nothing really that you're gonna ultimately miss out on by not watching tonight's show.
The only thing that I was hoping is that Kevin Owens could beat Cody Rhodes for the championship. Yep. And there were some times, by the way, it was close where I thought maybe Kevin could pull it off. But of course, with us being wrestling nerds, I'm looking at my watch and I'm looking at but time's ticking because they got a hard out at 9 o'clock Central. And I'm looking,
there's no run over on network television. Sorry. You don't get that USA bump.
Yeah, I was looking at my watch. I said, boy, this is going to be quick. And the timing was perfect for it. And look, like I said, this was a vehicle to be able to show a new audience, hey, by the way, we're still here. We're going to be on Netflix soon. We are on the USA Network for SmackDown. We got all these big shows. So if you're a first-time viewer and you haven't watched since Hogan was around or since the last time Saturday Night's main event was on NBC, this is a great opportunity. I'm just glad that these wrestlers are able to showcase what they could do on network TV, prime time, and it's good for them, good for the company. But for me, just, I had no problem with it. The only thing I didn't get is Kevin Owens being the champion. Otherwise, I thought it was fine.
But to Gabe's point, like, this event specifically has been a house show for the past few years, and that's what this was. Like, we could just fire up Peacock and watch this. Like, we didn't need it, and now we have people in the chat saying that KO took Cody out after the show. He walked off with the belt. Great. Like, that could have been done last night also.
Because here's also kind of the issue with tonight. They taped next Friday's SmackDown after the show last night. Mm-hmm. Right. So, like, again, like, I didn't even realize that until I happened to see it, like, come across my Twitter timeline. Like, that's kind of tough to not give anything away that happened. But again, nothing super serious, I guess, happened on Saturday night's main event that's really going to ruin SmackDown for next Friday. But that's just a tough look. You know, it's a tough thing to get by. I just, What makes me think that these, they're going to do them one a quarter? What are going to make these worth tuning in every week? Because you can't just go nostalgia every week. Like, and again, I think they hit all the right nostalgia notes. I think that Joe Tessitore, you know, being the host right away with Jesse the Body Ventura, and, you know, having, I guess, five, because McAfee broke it down on five different boa, you know, different boas, and then, you know, making the joke about how he made the leather, the snakeskin jacket out of the dead snake of Jake the Snake Roberts. Like, yes, that stuff is all great, and it was fun. It was great for tonight. But going forward, what does Saturday night's main event look like? Because it didn't make me go, oh, anything can happen on Saturday night's main event. I got to make sure I don't miss that. And I think when you're only doing it one a quarter, you have to do that. You have to provide that level of excitement. And look, I'm not taking anything away from the show, because the triple threat match was fantastic. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, it was fast paced. It was great because, again, you didn't have that much time. I think the commercial load was a little bit heavier than what we get for a typical 2-hour Monday Night Raw. So you had to really make sure you jammed in the action, you know, from the word go, and you wanted to sprinkle in this nostalgia stuff. But there was nothing that happened that made me go, oh, yeah, I cannot wait. Because the only thing we have in WWE between now and the Royal Rumble as major events, the first Monday Night Raw on Netflix and Saturday Night's main events. But I think I have to cross off Saturday Night's main event being a major event in WWE based on the way things transpired tonight.
Yeah, to your point, the next one, you watch it the next morning, you'll hear about a couple matches that are really good. You can fast forward to that and maybe see some of the, you know, the old pops. Because even that, like the nostalgia parts, like just having some of those old guys sit in the crowd, like, were they there all night? Like, did they get paid for this? How did that work? Like, that didn't even do it for me tonight.
It's WWE. I guarantee you that Coco Beware and Jimmy Hart got themselves a check for that.
Absolutely. Okay, good. Well, that's good for them then.
Tito flew in from Midland, Texas, believe right there in the front row. They were there for that. No, I think it's very clear, guys, that if you want to see advancement of storylines, it's the shows that we break down every Thursday.
Yep.
On GKW, what happens on Mondays and Fridays, what happens on Wednesdays on Dynamite, and that's what it comes down to. I mean, we all have a short bandwidth when it comes to sports or wrestling. And so for those that don't get a chance to watch on Mondays and Fridays, that's what that Saturday Night's Main Event is for. You know, I don't think that this is going to be something that we have to see every time that they show have a Saturday Night's Main Event. I don't think we have to. I think we will as a show, but I think the masses will say, okay, here's a show, by the way, here's a show, Saturday Night's Main Event, that didn't have Roman Reigns on it. That's a pretty good trick. No Bloodline talk, no Roman Reigns.
No Bloodline, no CM Punk.
Yeah. That says a lot. It says a lot for, and God bless them. They try to get it all in before the top of the hour, man. They got it all in. So I just think
as Cody was making his entrance, I'm like, bud, we gotta hustle this thing up, man. Like, come on, get that jacket off. We're running out of time here, big guy.
They got it all in. I think that for us, for our show, because we've had Chelsea Green on the show before, we're happy for her.
Oh,
I was thinking that I would want to either see Meechan or Chelsea Green win the championship. I got my wish. Yep. I got one of the two of them. It was Chelsea Green. Someone who told us on GKW, you can go to the archives and check it out on YouTube. Great conversation we had with her. She said, I don't really need a championship. I just want to be in a program that has results, that has teeth to it. And she's deserving of the championship. She's going to do a great job with it, I think.
That's the best unprayer of all time. Like, it's the smoothest one I've ever seen her pull off, going from the top rope, kind of, for lack of a better term, sunset flipping over the top of Meechan to then just seamlessly roll into the unprettier was, like, that was a fantastic way to end the match and for her to become the champion. And I love how she was also very, like, dismissive of Nick Aldis. Like, just, nah, get out of here, man. Like, because she has been obviously very anti, whether it's been Nick Aldis, whether it's been Adam Pearce, and the different, you know, nicknames that she's come up for the general managers of the respective shows. Like, you could tell how excited she was to win the championship, but she also just stayed very true to her character, which was fantastic.
And just the reaction of the crowd, like the fact that everyone was behind her. This wasn't sort of small pockets of people. The entire place was so excited when the refs counted that three. It's like, all right, Chelsea got the job done. Like, Meechan winning would have been cool and good for her development, but Chelsea deserved this moment, and I'm glad she got that tonight.
Yeah, that Zack Ryder bump. That's what it was. So you're on Long Island. He's from Long Island, so they were going to be behind Chelsea Green.
Is that she had a rough rider.
Yes. That's one of her skill sets. It's a rough ride her, I think. I think that's what they're calling it.
Keep the puns rolling with that.
And yeah, we might be 6 days away from her husband being the ROH world champion. So you have a lot of titles in that household.
If we're lucky, that's just going to be just the power couple of professional wrestling with the ROH World Championship and the U.S. Women's Championship. But I think, look, and everything was kind of condensed to your point, Hood, to try to get everything in. But I think everybody, even though I was ultimately disappointed with the show overall, I think that the matches were good. Yeah. Like the matches, I think they accomplished what they needed to accomplish. In terms of being fast-paced and entertaining and keeping you locked to your television if you decided to tune in tonight.
Yeah, I think so. I just think it was a showcase to say, hey, we got the Royal Rumble coming up and WrestleMania. We're still alive if you haven't seen us for a while. And so I think it was a showcase for that. Like, we know where to get the meat when it comes to WWE. That's on Mondays and Fridays. You give me another example of something that you probably wouldn't see on Mondays and Fridays, but maybe a PLE you would. Is that knee that Io Sky gave to Liv Morgan, where Liv Morgan's nose, I mean, like, and by the way, great production, because they found the slow-mo to show you, hey, you think that this is just, ballet? Boom! How about a knee right to the nose, blood gushing out for Liv Morgan? I thought that was a good job by the production team to kind of capture that moment.
But my little complaint about that was amazing. But then they showed the next move with her running into the turnbuckle, just like, all right, well, that didn't really do anything. Like, you're dismissive of that next move that, you know, should have had the same effect.
You mean the botch in the corner?
No, the one with the knees to the face in the corner. Not that one.
That was also a thing.
Yes.
the botch in the corner.
But that was a good match. I think, honestly, one of Liv's best matches. That says a lot, obviously, about Io. And, you know, there's still ways to get to Rhea and Leo. There we go. But, it was a good match.
Yeah, I mean, but clearly the match of the night was the triple threat for the men's world championship. Like, Gunther retaining there. Again, a lot of hard-paced, fast hit, fast action. Those three just really did a great job, I think, of elevating one another. Now, I don't know what happens going forward. Like, that's the one where clearly Sammy's going to be involved with Drew McIntyre one way or the other going forward, because, you know, Drew's going after the old bloodline. I think that, you know, I highly doubt that Io is going to be done, you know, kind of going after the Women's World Championship, as we just talked about. Especially if KO, you know, spilled out Cody Rhodes after. Clearly that's not done. The only one that may have a definitive ending is, I don't know where Priest, I don't know where Finn go in their pursuit of the world championship. Like, that, so not only did we have Gunther win there, but it felt like there were real stakes, because that actually could pivot in another direction going forward for the rest of the year as they make their turn towards Monday Night Raw on Netflix on January 6th.
They've talked about this portal, and I like the idea of the portal, because it either makes people happy or pisses them off. Anytime that you talk about the portal in sports, like with college athletics. So that portal should be open for Damian Priest to go wherever, the opposite direction of the Judgment Day. Enough of this. We should never see Finn Balor and Damian Priest in the ring at the same time, unless it's the Royal Rumble. Enough of this. And Damian Priest needs a fresh coat of paint, because it's a war he can never win. The numbers game is too great. This is another chance for the championship. He fell short again, so he's got to go the opposite of what's happening on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I feel the same way about Liv and Rhea, which we got that stare down tonight, which, like, it feels like that's not ending now, unfortunately.
No, that's not anywhere near. So maybe Damian sticks around for that, because for the same reasons, like, Rhea needs that assistance, even though it's, you know, it's just Liv and Raquel and the two women in that faction in the Judgment Day, but she's still going to need reinforcements to help her out. But that's the only one that kind of feels like it may have advanced somewhere and has any sort of repercussion heading out of tonight. Because clearly KO and Cody are not done. If he hit him with, I think somebody said, you know, in the comments, he was even a small package pile driver.
Okay.
Oh, so, Off of camera. Okay.
Yeah. After the show had ended and went off the air, apparently KO. He had a package pile driver to Cody after the show went off.
The pacing was so, which I thought that Owens would have a chance to win that, and you know, I didn't believe at first, but I think that Broach talked me into it. Just the idea of just shaking up the Undisputed Championship picture just a little bit. Because I think it's still unclear of what's going to happen with Cody Rhodes when we get to WrestleMania. Does CM Punk cash that favor in to say, hey, Roman, step aside, this will be CM Punk against Cody Rhodes? I don't know what's going to happen there. But it would have been nice to shake it up just a little bit to give Kevin Owens a little bit of credence here in this rivalry. Again, he doesn't need the championship, but it would have been interesting to see something completely different to catch everybody off guard.
I'm holding out hope January 6th, maybe. Could you give KO the title that night?
That'd be sick. Like, I'd be super excited about that if you did. CJ saying, chiming in, was it me or were there a couple of boos when Lillian Garcia introduced Cody Rhodes? I think people may begin to turn on Cody. I didn't notice necessarily that, but I certainly noticed the crowd starting to shift after KO hit the stunner. And everybody counted to 6, 7, 8, whatever it ended up being as KO went to, you know, finally get Charles Robinson up and into the ring the other ref came down to start counting. Like the crowd seemed a little restless of, oh, Cody's actually going to win this thing. I don't know how we feel about that. And then when he did win it, I mean, he still got a little bit of that hero's welcome, but it wasn't unanimous. This wasn't Cody finishing his story. This was, I think we kind of wanted KO tonight, and we're kind of disappointed we didn't.
And to add to everyone's comments about what happened after the show, they're doing what they did with the bus thing, where it's not coming from the WWE account right now. This is all fan video of KO takes out Cody. Then as he's walking off the belt, there's an altercation with him and Hunter going to the back also, because Hunter's pissed at him for pile driving him.
Oh, that's good shit.
But this is all just tweets from people, nothing from the official account.
That's good. That's good stuff. I like that a lot, as a matter of fact. I think that I've coined what this era is in WWE. This is the blank is right era. whether it's fill in the blank, it's either Seth Rollins or Kevin Owens. These heels, or supposed to be heels, are right. Like the way, I'm glad that WWE gave just a little bit of glimpse, that little short video of what Kevin Owens was going through. And then you have Jesse the Body Ventura backing him up. They told Jesse, just focus on the world title match. Okay, I can do that. I remember being in the Baja. You know, just, and there he is talking about that match. And you know what? Kevin is right. Seth Rollins on Monday Night Raw is right. I think we're in the blank is right era. I'm a heel. I'll tell you why that the babyface is wrong. And then you think, you know what? I think Kevin's right. I think Seth's right. It's interesting.
Well, the body, I think, is just an all-around heel. I mean, he was on ESPN New York yesterday. I think he's challenging Mad Dog to a WrestleMania match. He's very upset about Christopher Russo's nickname.
He ran down Mad Dog. He absolutely just ran him down. It was fantastic. But again, like he brought some of that old school wrestling. You know, when was the last time you heard a color commentator in the WWE talk about going after a vulnerable body part? You know, so you just have, and again, it's just like one of those very little things that Jesse the Body's like, man, I saw SmackDown a couple of weeks ago. I'm going after that ankle if I'm Kevin Owens. And then, you know, Cody ends up grabbing the ankle, you know, after he does a suicide dive early and you kind of build on that. That's again how you tell stories in the ring. That I think from time to time WWE misses out on. As much as I love McAfee, like that's not who McAfee is, right? Like you don't bring in McAfee to be the, oh yeah, look at this. You know, that's really gonna mess up this guy's shoulder, and now you gotta do this move to go after that. And that's not, again, not a knock on McAfee. He is fantastic in the role that WWE asks him to play. It's just more of an old school thing and just a little bit more of a depth thing that Jesse the Body was able to add to that main event match.
Absolutely. McAfee's there to be able to put over Busted Open and himself. That's what he's there for, to do those two things.
He informed us about the Heisman Trophy tonight. That was nice of him.
Yeah, good. Pop culture. Good stuff. Meanwhile, Jesse Ventura, and this, it gave it a great point because Jesse's always been that guy to put the play-by-play guy in circles with, like, logic. whether it's Shabani in WCW, he frustrated Jim Ross in WCW. He frustrated Vince because his point of view was common sense from a heel standpoint or a common sense standpoint, and they wanted the okey-doke announcer, and Jesse wasn't having it. There's a reason why Jesse was done with WCW and WWF is because he's making too much sense. He was. Too much sense.
Good on him.
Yeah. And so the things that Gabe just laid out just made, I mean, look, he hasn't watched the product in years, but he knows wrestling. Work on the leg. That's what he's saying, right? Which makes mm-hmm. sense. He didn't know Chad Gable's name, but he understood that last time he saw Cody, the leg was bad. So, I mean, that makes sense. I like it. And I'm glad he was used that way. Good on WWE to have him as kind of a studio analyst with Joe Tessitore, which I think will break the internet, Gabe, Brian, because it's like, is that an ESPN guy on NBC? How did that happen? But let's take a look at the legalese of that contract. Is that all? Is he so old to be there? But I just think that the way to use Jesse just for the one match is perfect. Some other companies would have him the entire night, and that would have been a disaster. But the one match focused on one story, it was great.
Yep.
Yeah, you're not asking him to do anything he's not going to be comfortable doing, and therefore he's going to be able to thrive. Did tonight make you excited for the one that's happening in 6 weeks?
I'll be interested to see what it looks like, what the card looks like. And here's the thing. We're already ahead. All three of us and the people watching and listening to this, we're already ahead on the storylines. I feel like people that watch NBC is going to be playing catch-up ball. Yeah, sure. That's what I believe. I believe they'd be like, hey, I don't watch every Monday and Friday, but I'll watch this and be entertained by it. I'll give you an example. Drew McIntyre and Sami Zayn. What a great way to start off Saturday Night's Main Event, in which they set the pace. Mm-hmm. You know, all the stuff we've seen from Drew on social media, everywhere else he's been, and then to be able to come in and just put his venom on Sami Zayn and win that match. I thought that was a really good paced match. But just for me, this was a great opportunity to showcase to a new audience what WWE is. I don't know if it's must watch for the diehards, but if you're a WWE fan, you will check in. You'll find out what's going on.
Yeah, this is one, like, I'm not watching live. Like, I'll watch a match or two, call it a day. Like, we have Netflix, which we saw promo tonight on NBC. Hey, it's happening January 6th. Then we go to the Rumble.
Oh, like, we only saw one?
No, one that I noticed. There are a lot.
Pretty sure it was every commercial break. Raw is, and then the Netflix N, 1-6-25.
Like, that's the next, I guess, tent pole that we're looking for. That Netflix, that's going to be a mania. Maybe that's tonight we see KO become champion again.
Hey, wrestling is overexposed. I think we all know that. It's not a bad thing. It's just that there's so much product on TV. This is why we have our podcast, because there's so much product. And to the point where, as we always say from a sports business standpoint, Gabe, if they're going to pay you to put it on, you put it on.
You put it on. Yep, you 100% put it on. But again, it makes – because even if you're grabbing some of that casual fan by catching them up and doing what you did tonight, in order for Saturday night's main event to be successful and for NBC Universal to continue to give you money going – you're going to have to lock in enough people like us. Like, you've got to get enough of those base people to come along and go, hey, these Sunday nights, there's four of them. There's four of them a year. These are can't miss. And that's where, and again, maybe I'm with you, Brian. Maybe I did it to myself, thinking that because they wanted to make sure that this was a big deal, like they were going to do something bigger than just bring out the Winged Eagle Championship for a night, that they were going to go, hey, again, not that there has to be a title change on every one of them, but the first one, you set the tone of, whew, anything can happen. You don't want to miss these. And right. That's not the tone that they set tonight. Overall.
Tonight should have been the second one. Like, if you had tonight's card, the second one, like, I get it. Like, they rope you in. Tonight doesn't rope you into anything in the future.
And actually, they've gone with the Saturday Night's Main Event playbook. Very rarely was there a title change on Saturday Night's Main Event going all the way back. You don't think that a young Jonathan Hood on the South Side was hoping that Bob Orton can hook Hulk Hogan with the superplex and win 1-2-3 on the first main event? I was. I stayed up. I was hoping. Come on, Bob, like you do in all the other jobber matches. Hook him. Put him over the top. One, two, three. You didn't think that I was rooting for Bad News Brown against Hulk Hogan, putting him in the Ghetto Blaster and hoping that Bad News Brown would be the champion? It never happened, right? Like, all these things. You ever thought I wanted Randy Savage to lose? My point is that the playbook of Saturday Night's Main Event has always been, this is a showcase, and this is a showcase to say, hey, we're going to have WrestleMania or Royal Rumble. So it's kind of like the same. The nostalgia is the same. It's just...
I will say this though. You mentioned how you had to stay up for that, because I saw this come across my Twitter feed as well today, that today is the first time that Saturday Night's Main Events and SNL have ever both appeared live on NBC. Because typically in the old fashion, it would air instead of Saturday Night Live late into the evening, and this one ended up obviously being in prime time, and then there's a new SNL coming up later tonight. So that's why I was hopeful. Hey, prime time slot, maybe they do something a little different, but apparently that is not the case.
They should have taken over the night and somehow had a WWE host on SNL. Like, they have Chris Rock, they should have The Rock hosting tonight.
That would have been perfect.
Yeah.
That would have been absolutely perfect. But, you know, we should have known. The three of us should have known. Even though we thought that Cody would drop the title. We do have a new champion, yes, in Chelsea Green. Where, as a show, we're happy about that. But we should have known. This company, guys, is about the slow burn. Yep. Even Saturday Night's Main Event, it's just about the slow burn. You'll get what you want, possibly at WrestleMania. But the way Triple H does it, he's got the stick like the witch. And he's just the slow cook. That's what he's doing, the slow cook. Just like the Bloodlines. We're just in the top of the third with the Bloodline, by the way. Top of the third inning.
Yeah. Well, I honestly don't know if we'll ever get Kevin Owens as champ. I honestly do not know that. Because we'd have no idea what the WrestleMania plans are for Cody Rhodes. But that is a different conversation that I'm sure we're going to have plenty of times right here on GKW. Make sure you check out, comment, subscribe, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. As Jay Hood had mentioned earlier, we did talk to Chelsea Green not that long ago. Go check out that interview that we did with the new Women's U.S. Champion. Well, we've gotten past Saturday night's main events. We continue to pivot elsewhere in WWE, in AEW, and we will talk about it all coming up on our regular show on Thursday here on GKW.
What about Collision?